This is Bucky McCaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Last week, I answered some questions from a listener named Carolyn in Brooklyn, New York. Carolyn says I won her over with my agenda of the redistribution of chickens from overcrowded, inhumane, disease-spreading factories to small flocks and yards and public spaces across the nation, including, and maybe even especially, in our cities. She knows that chickens in her yard will provide fertilizer, soil improvement, and pesticide control that will help her grow her own vegetables, which will be tastier and more nutritious than that which she can get from corporate sources. She knows that she'll have eggs that are much, much more nutritious and delicious than grocery store eggs, and will be, not just in name, but in actual fact, cruelty-free. And of course, she's heard about and even witnessed what wonderful personalities chickens have when they're raised in healthy and respectful conditions. Last week, we discussed her questions about size-appropriate breeds, whether to start with fertilized egg, chick, or young chickens, and whether she should or could keep roosters. For more information on what you missed, go to buckybacaw.org. In the meantime, let's talk about Carolyn's concern that there are feral and pet cats that sometimes roam her neighborhood. Would chickens be a danger in her yard, she asks. Ideally, you don't want strange cats prowling around your flock. A good fence and whatever other measures you can take to discourage cats is a bonus. But generally, during the day, chickens can hold their own against cats. Roosters in particular, but also hens, have an instinctive ability to bluff, as well as some very real fighting skills that a much larger cat will respect. Especially when more than one chicken team up to fight off the cat. Smaller chickens might be less intimidating, but tend to have somewhat improved ability to fly, which means they can't be caught easily and will exhaust most felines. Especially if they have a tree with low branches or other elevated roosts they can utilize. Cats can't climb or leap as fast as chickens. However, cats may not be the only potential predators in your neighborhood. Stray dogs are a distinct possibility, especially now that so many people in the city have dogs. Dogs are even less maneuverable than cats, but can be even more determined hunters, so fencing is key. Predatory birds, hawks, falcons, and eagles are a factor in New York City. Chickens are instinctually cautious about anything that flies over their heads, so if you provide them with daytime cover, a coop they can run into, bushes to hide in, that'll help a lot. But I'm pretty sure that New York's predatory birds will probably be prioritizing the many prey animals that live in more open areas, such as rooftops, parking lots, and parks, before they start trying to figure out how to swoop through trees and electrical wires into a claustrophobic city yard. Rats and snakes won't eat your chickens. In fact, some large chicken breeds eat rodents and snakes. But those would probably be too big for your space, as we discussed on last show. However, rats and snakes will eat eggs or newborn chicks, mess up the nest, and stress your chickens out. Keep your hen house clean, remove eggs promptly, and watch for any signs of trouble, so you can take preventive measures right away. I'd recommend that when you first start off with chickens, you keep them in an enclosed run when they're unsupervised. After you get a sense of the cat and predator situation, and how tough your little flock is, you can experiment with letting the chickens free range a bit. No matter what, it is essential that your hens have a predator-proof place to sleep. Once the sun goes down, chickens basically turn into zombies and lose all self-defense abilities. The city has larger populations of nocturnal hunters, like raccoons, possum, and fox, than most people realize. There are all kinds of living prey and stuff for them to scavenge, but sooner or later, one will sniff out your coop. If they can't get to your chickens the first time, they may not come back. But once they do, they'll remember your yard for a long time and stay on the lookout for an opportunity. If you are sure of your predator situation, you can plan accordingly. My first flock was protected by neighboring dogs on all sides of our fenced yard, and kept nocturnal predators out. I highly recommend building or buying something that is pretty much impenetrable. Wood or thick plastic or small hole chicken wire on all sides, including underneath, or buried fairly deep along the sides, and a latch that a raccoon can't figure out. My experience is that predator-proofing is actually a lot more difficult for country folk. One of the advantages of urban and suburban chickening is you can often stick to the most effective, basic security measures. Carolyn rightly wonders not only about keeping predators out, but about keeping chickens in when she asks about chickens' ability to fly the coop. While chickens' flight skills are limited, it's amazing how resourceful a determined hen can be if she gets it in her head to go exploring. In my experience, you've got a good chance of outsmarting the chicken and keeping them in your yard, but that's another reason to keep your unsupervised chickens in an enclosed run at first. Then maybe let them free range while you watch them on the sly from a window and see what they're capable of. Some folks clip their chickens' wings. Limiting their ability to fly doesn't always guarantee they won't find a way out, but it does mean they can't fly away from predators. Chickens will be more likely to accept boundaries they grew up with, one of the advantages of starting with new chicks. And a chicken with adequate food, water, and companionship who is happy and engaged in her surroundings may not even be tempted to fly the coop. Carolyn also asks, what do you do about chickens in the New York City winter? Winterizing for your flock is another topic discussed on previous shows and on my website, buckybacaw.org. Most chicken breeds are pretty cold hardy. Outdoor chickens are common in cities and places much colder than New York. The important thing is, again, proper shelter. Your coop must be windproof. It should have a roosting area above the cold ground where two or more chickens can huddle together and share their warmth. It should be the right size or have an enclosed nesting area to build up heat. Many experienced chickeners report that their chickens have survived sub-zero temperatures in a proper coop. But if you're ever in doubt, I recommend taking your flock inside for the night. You can keep them in a small indoor cage during sleeping hours. There really is no need for a heated coop. However, you should figure out a way to make sure they have access to fresh water, not ice, during the day. If you're gone for long stretches, you may want to look into heated water trays. Hens are legal in New York City, and most cities for that matter, as long as you have few enough so your neighbors can't make a valid noise or smell complaint. And there are actually more hens than you'd think already living in cities like New York. Chickeners, like me, develop a sort of chicken radar, or hendar, that allows us to sniff out chickens in our neighborhood. But new chickeners should poke around chicken blogs and websites and local urban agriculture groups to seek out the more experienced pioneers who can give you advice that addresses your area, even your neighborhoods. Like chickens, people who live with chickens are a sociable bunch. We're all signed on to the Bucky Agenda, so join us. And don't be intimidated by the false notion that chicken care is some kind of specialized, arcane peasant farmer or factory farm knowledge. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.